This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
This morning our reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 10. The chapter before this is the very famous chapter of Saul and on the road to Damascus. And this is the very next chapter. And at the start of chapter 10 we read about Peter's vision. And this is picking up at verse 27, reading to the end of the chapter. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.' While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, 'Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have.' So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Will you continue to speak to us and inspire us and reveal in us the changes that need to happen? And we ask this in your name. Amen. This summer just passed, two things happened to me. Firstly, I changed jobs. So I'm a teacher by trade, Monday to Friday. And on the last day of term, I went for an interview in a new school. Haven't been in the previous one for 17 years. And I probably could have seen out my days in the school I was in, but I changed jobs. A few weeks later, I became a father again for the third time, 10 years after number two had arrived. Now, you're probably thinking, a father again after 10 years, what is wrong with you? You might be horrified, or you might be thinking, good for you. Changing jobs and becoming a dad again in your early 40s. Sure, bit of crack. But I have to say, there is a reason why sleep deprivation is used as a form of torture. And in the 10 years since my second one now has been born, I've learned to love my sleep. And it's not easy, but little Ruby is doing very, very well. One of those events was not expected. I'll let you decide which one, but very, very welcome. And the other one, if I'm honest, had been in the car, on the cards for a while. But there has been a few changes, to put it mildly, in the Scullion household since the end of June. And we all react differently to change. It doesn't necessarily have to be change jobs or a baby in the house or a grandson or granddaughter being born. It doesn't have to be life-altering events like that. But change happens all the time, whether we want it to or not. And sometimes we view it as a positive and sometimes we view it as a negative. But one thing's for sure, whenever change occurs, life will never be the same again. This week I was talking to someone and we were mentioning cars, and they are a lot younger than me, and they were mentioning that their very first car was a Ford Fiesta. And they have stopped producing the Ford Fiesta, even though it's the most, the highest sales in the UK. No more Ford Fiesta are being produced. And it reminded me of a little story that I had heard about Henry Ford, the great inventor of the early 20th century, whose name still emblazons all those cars. And Henry Ford had a man working for him in management called William Knudsen. And he became convinced that it was time to upgrade the Model T car that had made Ford famous and made them a fortune, because it had been in production for a few years. The competition was coming out with updates, changes and improvements. But William Knudsen had a problem. And that problem was that Henry Ford would not even consider the idea, because he loved his creation just the way it was and opposed any changes. So while Henry Ford was away on vacation in Europe, William Knudsen decided to put a car together to demonstrate his ideas for changes using a new design and color. So he got the engineers in the 3-week window that he had to design and build a new car. Whenever Henry Ford returned from his vacation, he went to the famous Highland Park in Michigan where they made these cars. And he saw the new design. And on the scene, mechanics later revealed how Henry Ford responded. And one of them wrote this. Mr. Ford had his hands in his pockets, and he walked around that car 3 or 4 times. Finally, he got to the left-hand side of the car, takes his hands out of his pockets, gets hold of the door, and bang, rips the door right off. He then jumped into the front seat, and bang, goes the other door with his foot. Then bang goes the windshield with his other foot. He jumps over the back seat and starts pounding on the top. He rips the top with the heel of his shoe. He wrecked that car as much as he could with his bare hands. Now, Henry Ford was one of the most creative men of his age. And yet, he resisted the obvious need for change, forced by competition, forced by changing times. And I think it's generally true that most people don't like change. Most people like things just the way they are. Not everybody will respond to change, obviously, by kicking doors in and ripping the top off a new car. But rarely do most people embrace it. And today's passage from the book of Acts is a little snapshot into a larger narrative of God's work in the world in that early church. And story after story in Acts reminds us of the power of the Holy Spirit. And there were the adventures of Peter and John, healing the sick, proclaiming that Christ was crucified and resurrected. There were the prayers of the disciples of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that infused them with boldness, even though they were threatened with imprisonment and in some cases death. There were the surprises of those early days. Utter astonishment that this message of hope could move from Jerusalem to the rest of Asia into North Africa to unlikely converts such as a zealot named Saul. And it's in this environment that we read about Peter's vision from God at the start of chapter 10. And in that vision, a sheet unfolded from heaven. And on it were animals of all kinds, including animals that were unclean under Jewish law. God commanded Peter to eat. But Peter refused, because of the Jewish dietary laws. But God replied that he had made those animals clean. And what he made clean, no one should call unclean. And this vision was a metaphor for God's command to Peter to expand Christianity, to include the Gentiles who were also considered unclean by the Jews. It's hard for us to imagine just how dramatic the changes described in that text really are, because it is impossible to imagine what the modern church is compared to that early church. And you can almost picture Peter's reaction to that vision. This big sheet comes down, and inside it are all these unclean animals. Animals that Peter would have learnt from a very young age were not to be eaten. And then he heard the voice of his Savior saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And we know from reading the Gospel that Peter is not always open to doing or taking his time on things. No way you can imagine him saying, "I've never eaten anything unclean, I'm not going to start now." But God had other ideas. Because at the same time, somebody else was having a vision. And this is what we read about at the end of chapter 10. Cornelius was a Roman centurion in Caesarea. And he and his family members and servants were God-fearing people. Even though they were Gentiles, they were accepted by the Jews up to a point. But because they were Gentiles, they were not people that Peter and the other disciples would have thought included in God's plan. As a result of the vision that Cornelius had, he sent a representative to see Peter, to invite him to come and teach him and his family. And God sent several believers to accompany Peter, so together they could witness what the Holy Spirit was doing for Cornelius and his family. Now Cornelius was not to be trifled with. He was a tough Roman soldier who had the respect of everybody who met him, but he was also drawn to something bigger than himself. Something told him that there was more to life than what he could see in front of him. Something told him there was a God. And even though the Jews welcomed these Gentile converts, they were never truly accepted. So when God sent the Holy Spirit upon the Gentile believers, he made it clear that to everybody who was there, that salvation and faith in God is through Christ alone. Nothing other than belief is required. Only trusting in Christ brings forgiveness. Not your history, not your background, not your social standing. And at this point in Acts, it marks the expansion of Christianity to include everybody. Approved by both Paul and later Peter. And it was such, for Peter, it was such a dramatic moment. Because up to that point, he took as face value everything that he had learnt in his life up to that point. He believed everything, and yet God revealed to him that people who had not been on the same journey as him were still to be welcomed in to this faith. I think that this was Peter's own Damascus moment. Not as dramatic as we read about Paul, but when it comes to the early church, equally as significant. Because the Holy Spirit whittled away at the hardness of Peter's heart towards those that he had been brought up to avoid. And the Holy Spirit can change the perception of others and what they can do or cannot do. And the same Holy Spirit that changed Peter's hearts is the same Holy Spirit that is with us this morning and can change our character and lead us to love others. And God knows that it's difficult to embrace change, but he can't let us remain the way we are. The Holy Spirit allows us to see things in new ways, just as Peter saw others in a new way because of his vision. The Holy Spirit opened Peter to new insights, and it gives us new insights into who can be part of the church family. Though these insights force us to open our eyes and hearts to those who the world rejects. 2 weeks ago, down the road at Fishwick, my youngest daughter, Ruby, was baptized. And at the same time, there was three other people being baptized. And they were a family from Iran who had a nice middle-class life in that country, but because of their belief, felt very unsafe. And they fled that country, their friends, their family, their language, and they came here. And they have been at Fishwick now for a couple of years. And they were also baptized at the same time as my little 11-week-old daughter. And the same God who is with her is also with them and has been with them. And as a church, we have a responsibility to accept and to love and to nurture not just infants, but adults and others who join the church in a very, very different trajectory than maybe we have. God sees the entire picture. We only see part of it. But God sees a church where everybody is welcome. But sometimes we only see a church where people look like us, think like us, act like us. God moved the fence that those early believers had built to keep the Gentiles out. But the Holy Spirit got rid of that fence. In return, we need to welcome everybody into our church family. And here's the exciting thing. It will not be like it was before. How often do we hear authoritarian leaders all over the world declare that they will return their country to what it was like 40, 50 years ago, before all these changes took place? And to some, such a message can be very, very appealing. To those who want to stick in their heads in the sands, terrified of changes that happen around them. But none of us can avoid those changes. The only sensible, the only sound thing we can do is seek a God who never changes. Jeremiah 29:11, that famous verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God is the unchanging constant in a changing world. He changed the heart and mind of Peter all those years ago, and he's been in the business of changing hearts and minds of believers ever since. All are welcome to the family of God. It was never intended to remain the same year after year. We must remain open to the possibility of changes in our church, in our church family, in our lives, and in our relationship with others. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for changing the mind of Peter and all those disciples. And from that small seed grew this church, which we are part of today. Help us, Father, to lift our eyes, to see what's in front of us, to see what's around us, to see the need that people have in our community, to see what we can do to help. And when we do help, Lord, may we show love and grace and mercy, not judgment, not condemnation. Father, give us the opportunities, the circumstances this week to make a real difference to the people we meet at home, at work, just in our daily lives. And in doing so, Lord, in a very small way, help us change the church. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Our prayers for others. Father God, we approach you with confidence, knowing that if we ask anything according to your will, you will hear us And when you hear us, we know that our requests will be granted. Father, what can we pray? What can we ask for in the Middle East? We ask you to thwart the plans and actions of evil men. We ask you to protect the innocent Palestinians in Gaza and the Israeli hostages. We ask you to enable humanitarian aid to be made available through the relief agencies. We ask you to guide those who are seeking to bring peace and to prevent an escalation of the conflict. Father, for towns affected by the storms and wet weather of the past week and the flooding that followed, for those in Uri, Downpatrick, Portadown and Newcastle, whose homes and farms and businesses have been swamped, we pray that as floodwaters recede, damage can be assessed and compensation agreed. And Father, we commit our prayers to you, the King, immortal, invisible, the only God, and to you be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.